Today's scripture reading is Joel 2, verses 12 through 17, and I'll be reading from the New International Version. Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity. Who knows? He may turn and relent and leave behind a blessing, grain offerings and drink offerings for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, declare a holy fast, call a sacred assembly. Gather the people, consecrate the assembly. Bring together the elders, gather the children, those nursing at the breast. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chamber. Let the priests who minister before the Lord weep between the portico and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, Lord. Do not make your inheritance an object of scorn, a byword among the nations. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? The word of God for the people of God.
So today we're starting a new series on ways to find God. And it's really fitting, really, for the season of Lent, a season which, as Larissa mentioned, started last Wednesday with what's been known historically as Ash Wednesday. And it goes through all the way through Easter. So it's this season, it's 40 days, excluding Sundays. So you actually have more, but there's 40 days of Lent. And it's a powerful time, really, if we take it and apply, I think, its historical value to our lives. It's a time of humbling ourselves before God and intentionally focusing on our relationship with him. And I think that in our culture and times today, even in the church, we don't talk a lot about humbling ourselves before God, of really acknowledging that we are the created, we are human, and very painfully so at times. But there is a God in heaven, and when we humble ourselves before God, God gives grace to the humble. God gives grace to those who admit their need. So Lent is this season of humbling ourselves before the Lord, of devoting a portion of our lives every year to a concerted effort to seek the face of God. And we're going to talk a little bit about that as I get going here. And I believe, even as we are in this series, I believe with all my heart that if we seek God, we will find God. Now, there are many times where God seems hidden. Let's be honest. Unless I'm the only one that experiences that, although I know I'm not, because I've read plenty of books to talk about the sometimes this sense of the hiddenness of God. But I've also had God speak to me very powerfully. I've had God reveal himself to me very clearly in Scripture. So even though I have seasons and times in my life where I wonder, God, what are you saying? What are you doing? I'm also convinced that if we seek God, we will find God, because God says that in his word. So we're going to look today at prayer and fasting. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that. Before I do that, I want to share with you a story. For some of us that are a little older, we'll definitely remember a golfer named Arnold Palmer, one of the greatest golfers of all time, a professional golfer. And he was playing one time in an exhibition match in Saudi Arabia. And the king proposed to give Palmer a gift. And Palmer demurred, "It really isn't necessary, Your Highness. I'm honored to have been invited." And the king just looks at him and says, "I would be deeply upset if you did not receive a gift from me. And so if you did not allow me to give you a gift." And Palmer, he thought for a moment. He said, "All right." He said, "How about a golf club? That would be a beautiful memento of my visit to your country." The next day, delivered to Palmer's hotel was the title to a golf club. Thousands of acres of trees, lakes, clubhouse, the whole entire thing. Now, you may wonder why, when I'm going to talk about prayer, did I share a story about Arnold Palmer? The reason I share that in the context of prayer, the whole point of that is so often we're asking God for a 9-iron, a golf club, when God in his heart wants to give you the whole course. He wants to give you everything. And so it speaks to me because, to me, my sense is, and this is kind of putting it a little bit in the negative, but my sense is, if we really believe that God wanted to give us the whole entire golf club, wouldn't we pray a little bit more? I mean, if I think really all I'm going to get is a 9-iron, that's not going to inspire me, really. Oh, maybe some of you would inspire, but it doesn't inspire me that much to pray. But man, a whole golf club, that'd be pretty awesome. I just think we often think so little of the power of prayer that we come to God hoping for a 9-iron, when in reality, God wants to give us the whole club. So what is prayer? And I'll be honest with you, we all really know what prayer is. I'm going to share a few thoughts and stuff. I don't think any of them are going to be like, wow, you know, I never thought of prayer like that. So really, when it comes down to it, the bottom line of this whole entire message is, I'm not really that interested in just talking about prayer. Like, let's pray, you know. This is why during Lent, we have opportunities at 6 a.m., 8 a.m., and 8 p.m. up in the upper office, by the way. Tony will be upstairs to pray. I don't want to just talk about prayer. I want to be a man of prayer. And so that's what we're doing. So prayer in its basic form is just simply talking to God, talking with God. It doesn't have to be eloquent, perfect, well-worded, nothing. You're just expressing your heart to God. It's making deliberate contact with God. Prayer is an immediate acknowledgement of your need for God. The very fact that you're praying is an acknowledgement. It is really an act of humility. I think some of our prayerlessness is probably more grounded in our pride than it is in anything else. I got this. And it involves both speaking and listening. And so often we pray as if it were a monologue, but prayer is so much more than just talking to God. That's why I pray, but I like to read scripture usually in conjunction with prayer, because often then that's when I'm listening more to God. The second thing I just say about prayer is opening our lives to God for change. Prayer is a recognition that God is God and that I am not. And so in prayer, we yield our desires to God. Jesus prayed, not my will, but yours be done. Sometimes I think we feel like prayer, I'll talk about this in relationship to fasting, like we're trying to, like we need to change God's mind about something. So if I just pray and I'll really just fast and suffer for Jesus, maybe I'll twist his arm and he'll have mercy and do something. What I find is that when I go to pray, God changes me. That I go to pray and I put my request before God and I ask God for stuff all the time. I think that's okay, for sure. But oftentimes prayer just puts me in a whole different place about the very thing I was praying or concerned about. So prayer just kind of puts us in a posture of humility again and open to change. The third thing I just want to say is that prayer is not complicated. I kind of mentioned this before. It's not about saying the right words. And I've said this before, but if you are in a public place, and I'm not trying to force you to pray publicly, but if you are in a public place and you're concerned, how am I going to sound when I pray? You're praying to the wrong person and people. You're not praying for the people around you. Who cares how you sound? Just pray. You're praying to God. If you pray and sit down, and then I've done this even preaching, and I don't do it anymore because I'm preaching to you, but I preach for the delight of God. I want my preaching to delight the heart of God. So I don't ask anymore, I always go to Sarah, how was my message, you know? And God just said, you don't need to do that. Same with prayer. If you sit down and wonder, I wonder how my prayer was. Oh, sorry, I got news for you. You're praying to the wrong people. You're praying for the people. Yeah, you just pray. It's not complicated. It's just orienting yourself and your entire being toward God. They don't need to be flowery, eloquent. They certainly don't need to be in the King James. I'm amazed at how people that just talk so normally most of the time, and they start talking to God, and all of a sudden, man, I didn't even know you knew how to talk like that. One of the biggest things when I was working in Belize with the kids there years and years ago, 30 years ago now or more, 35 or more, anyway. And the kids could not believe, because whenever they would start to pray, these are teenagers, they would slip out of Creole and pray in the King James, basically. And I said, you know what? I said, God knows Creole. That's your heart language. I mean, God bless the King James, but that's not your language. And they were like, really? We don't have to pray that? I said, no. And the liberation that came and the prayers that started to flow when they started just to pray in Creole was amazing. I mean, this is the whole point of Jesus, I think, in many ways. I mean, prayers that are said to impress others or to manipulate God, those are the prayers that I think Jesus was so adamantly opposed to. When he talks about going on and on and babbling, you know, and we interpret that in different ways, but basically I just think God's just saying, if you're trying to impress people through your prayers, you're not really praying. You might as well just shut up. Instead, when Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he told them to use simple, straightforward speech. He said, when you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way. Say it with me. It should be up on the screen, is it? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. Amen. Could even have gone on, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. So why is prayer important? Prayer is important primarily because through it we draw near to God. Now, this may seem obvious, but I'm amazed at how little we as Christians pray for this reason. Most of the time, and God delights when you ask him to meet your needs. So I'm not putting that down. To come before God and put your request before God and ask God for stuff, God says, I'm glad you came to me. You know, but God also delights just in you. And just in your relationship with God. This is why it's just 5 minutes that I take every day to just be silent. I don't ask God for anything. And I just sit in God's presence. And the way I see that 5 minutes is like, and you guys, I know I bring the marriage relationship in, but it speaks so clearly to, I think, how God wants to be in relationship with us. But I could just sit with Sarah in her presence, looking into her eyes or just being there. I could do that for certainly more than 5 minutes. And yet it's amazing how hard it is to do 5 minutes with God. Now, granted, she's right there physically. Now, God's right there too, but I can't see God, right? But just those 5 minutes of silence, I'll just say this, when I don't do that, and there are times when I don't, and it's not like it's a duty or some magic thing or something, but I do notice a difference. I just don't seem to be as centered or focused or confident in just who God is in my life. It's a time to draw near to God. Sometimes I find that as we're praying publicly especially, and I've already kind of gone into this too, but we're praying more to those around us than we are to God. And that's not drawing near to God. I sometimes hear people in prayer talking about God in the third person. Like God's not even in the room. I've also heard some amazing sermons through people's prayers. Where they're praying and I'm like, did I just get rebuked? Like, you know, did somebody just like tear me up while they're supposed, I thought they were talking to God here. I really do encourage you to begin your day in prayer. Even if it's just for a moment, even if it's just sitting quietly for 5 minutes, to draw near to God. Lay your burdens before the Lord, but just to delight to be in his presence. To center your attention on Christ before entering your busy day. Because I believe if you seek God, you will find God. The second thing is that prayer is important because it refocuses our perspective. And I want to just read you a passage of scripture here that, and I've shared this here before, but this passage just always speaks to me so powerfully. So this is from Psalm 73, and I'm just going to kind of pull some verses out, but they'll all be up on the PowerPoint. It says, "Truly God is good to the upright, to those who are pure in heart." So it starts off with this declaration, God is good to the upright, to those who are pure in heart. "But as for me, my feet almost stumbled, my steps had nearly slipped, for I was envious of the arrogant. I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Such are the wicked, always at ease. They increase in riches. All in vain I have kept my heart clean and washed my hands in innocence." And we may not word it this way, but I think sometimes we feel this way. God, I've done everything I can for you. I've done all. How could you let this happen to me? How could this happen to me? I've lived my whole life. I gave my life to you, and now this? He says, "For all day long I've been plagued and I'm punished every morning." I mean, he's struggling here. "But when I thought how to understand this, it seemed to me a wearisome task. I just couldn't get it. I didn't know what was going on until I entered the sanctuary of God." I love that. "Until I entered the sanctuary of God, then I perceived their end." Changed everything. His entire perspective was reoriented in God's presence. He was genuinely struggling. That's what I love about the scriptures, man. They don't hide stuff. He was ready to cash it in, to walk away from God. He just didn't get it. I'm living for God, and all I'm doing is suffering, and I got all this stuff going on in my life. These people don't live for God at all, and they're living in mansions and eating caviar and all this other stuff. I didn't get it until I entered the sanctuary of God. And then it all came into, I perceived their final end. I think prayer is also important because it quiets our fears. It's a familiar passage, but "Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." And what? "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Man, I just got to tell you, I'm not just blowing smoke here. This is real stuff. When I get anxious or I'm concerned about something and I come into God's presence, I cry out to God, I put things at the feet of Jesus, and it changes me. And I just, again, that perspective changes a bit and I have peace and there's a great sense of trusting in God. I've been looking forward to Lent, and I'll just tell you, Sarah and I, we came here at 6 o'clock on Thursday. We came here at 6 o'clock on Friday. She came here at 6 o'clock on Saturday because I was at Men's Advance. And already, as we came into Lent, I was just in a little bit of a, I was kind of discouraged. I shared it a couple weeks ago, I think, at church. I just was in a weird place. And just in those couple of days, I just feel God's got this. Like, God has got this. Number four, prayer is important because it helps us to transfer our burdens to God. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Man, I carry so many burdens. I just do. The burden of the church, burden of my family, burden of this, the burden of that. Like, the whole world depends on me, right? No. But I feel that way sometimes. I just kind of come before the Lord. If I'm feeling that way, it's really a sign of my pride again. And if you haven't just picked this up in the last few weeks, man, God is just, you'd think after 40 years of being a follower of Jesus, I wouldn't be so proud. I just see pride rise up all the time. The hard part is God's like showing me. Like, can't you just leave me alone? Let me be in my bliss, man. Yeah, but you're hurting people. Yeah, hurting people. You asked me to deal with you. Well, here I go. It's been bittersweet. But I'm feeling very vulnerable before the Lord currently. And just sensing God's divine work in my life. And it is good. But I don't like it also. It's like, you know, it's tough to go, like, see, have like an interaction transpire and then have God just nail you afterwards. And then you're just like, that was just yucky. Like, how did I do that? Number five, prayer is important because it upholds others who are in need. There are people in great need who don't even pray for themselves. And we have an opportunity to stand in the gap on their behalf. Paul wrote to the Colossians and said, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you. He is always wrestling in his prayers on your behalf so that you may stand mature and fully assured in everything that God wills. In Ezekiel, God says he was looking for someone to stand in the gap so he would not have to destroy the nation of Israel. And then the saddest words almost, and there's a few sad words in Scripture, but this is sad. He says, but I found no one. No one that was praying, standing in the gap for the nation. Listen, man, our city and our nation, we desperately need to be standing in the gap. Our politics, our, you know, worldwide plagues, you know, all this stuff that's got people freaking out, but so many are not crying out to God. They're getting angry, they're getting fearful, they're, you know, the climate of fear and anger and, oh, it's just violence. It's because without God, what do you do? So God's asking us to not just pray for ourselves and not even just to pray for the joy of being in God's presence, but to also pray for others. So I know I could list 50 more reasons as to why prayer is important, but I need to continue to move on here. So I'm going to talk about fasting and prayer. And before you're too hard on me about how can a guy who looks like he doesn't know how to put the fork down on the table talk about fasting. Well, I'm just going to tell you, and it'll sound like bragging, but I can guarantee you that I've probably fasted longer than anybody in this room. Water only. So I think I can talk to you about prayer and fasting. And I am going to share with you what I'm going to do here during the season of Lent, as much for accountability purpose, but also as I'm teaching. So I'm trying to give some examples. So why fast in addition to prayer? I think the first reason that I'd like to share with you is to humble yourself before God. Even now, declares the Lord, this is from the passage that was read by Philip earlier, even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity. All true connection to God begins with humility and repentance. All true connection to God. And we who live in a consumer culture, who line up, I drove by In-N-Out in Kaiser on the way home last night at 9:10 o'clock at night. The line was like 5 blocks long. I mean, I couldn't even see the end of the line. For a cheeseburger. Like, we do not deny ourselves anything. It's all there for us. I mean, I think I'm making a big sacrifice because I ate like a pound and a half prime rib last night for dinner and thought I was being all denial when I was like, well, I won't have that piece of cheesecake. Are you kidding me? You just ate a pound of meat, a pound of potatoes, and a pound of whatever else I had. Actually, I had salad with a pound of dressing. And I'm all like patting myself on the back because I didn't take the little cheesecake thing. Man, I tell you, I live a life of denial. Let me tell you that much. I just sacrifice day and night. We don't like, let me tell you something. You don't eat for a day. Now, I'll come back to that in a second because some of you should not do that. Okay, but just skip a meal. And I'll tell you something. Your proud fleshly body, man, I tell you, I have had my body complain to me like nobody. I'm talking screaming. How dare you? What are you doing to me? Don't you know I'm suffering here? It's crazy. I've had intentions just to fast for a day, and I'll just tell you the honest to God truth. I couldn't make it to 11:30 in the morning. That's sad. That is really, really sad. Are you kidding me? But we're not used to doing that. We're not used to humbling ourselves. One thing about fasting that I will say, I'm going to talk about something different than the suffering side, the humbling side. But the thing about fasting, it humbles you. And it humbles your body. Your body just is so proud. We're all connected, right? But it's just like this sense of how could you not give me everything I need and want? Maybe it's not the same for you, but it deeply humbles me. It also just shows me how weak I am. You can't go without food till noon. You can't go a day. But it's not just about food. I'm going to get to this right now. It's also about denying ourselves the right to be entertained. Man, we live in an entertainment culture. So this is the thing, and I've started, and then I told my wife, okay, this is what I'm going to do for the season of Lent, except for I just got to make it clear to you, it's all going to start after Men's Advance, right? Because one time I fasted through Men's Advance, that was just too much humbling. I couldn't handle that. So when I know they're down there eating prime rib and I'm up there, you know, trying to pray, oh God, this is my prayers. God, help me not to think about that prime rib. God, have mercy on me. I don't need the cheesecake. Lord. Yeah, it was fruitless. It was just absolutely meaningless, you know, because all I was thinking about was the food I wasn't eating, right? So anyhow, I mean, kind of joking around a little bit. But so the point is, let me just get to what I think, though. I mean, the humility side is a huge component. Humility and repentance, which we don't talk about much in the church today. I mean, we talk about it here. But just generally speaking, the idea of repentance, of just coming before God, weeping over the sins of our culture, my own sins, really, like, just getting, most of us don't want to do that because you want to know why? Because then you got to change. Well, if I act like I'm all mourning and repenting and all serious about all this sin that I got going on, well, I might actually have to do something about that. So we just don't do it. We just keep watching more TV and going to more movies and entertaining ourselves and eating too much food, and we just, there we go. But let me tell you what I think is really the most important reason, or another important reason, and this is what I'd like you to focus on. But I find that fasting, both from food and from especially entertainment, creates space that I can dedicate to focus on God. I shared with our worship team and those that were involved in the service today. So today, because I did eat like 10 pounds of food last night for dinner, I just wanted a light breakfast, something really light. So for me, that was just a couple very small pieces. Sarah baked this kind of really cool bread, but anyway. But for me to go in and to get these two small pieces of bread, and I just put some banana on top, and with a little bit of a light thing of almond butter. So it wasn't much. There were small pieces. But I wanted the bread to be warm, so I heated that up. And then the almond butter was kind of cold, and so I heated that up. And then I just, you know, had to peel the banana and cut it. And then when I sat down to eat it, and I looked, you know how much time it took to do that simple breakfast? 25 minutes. 25 minutes that through Lent, and normally I cook. So I cook eggs and do this stuff. So it's probably closer to 45 minutes. That if I just, and this is just for me, I'm going to talk to you about how you can maybe figure out what you might want to do. Nobody's going to force you to do anything. For me, that's 45 extra minutes where I can just devote that time to the Lord. Where I can read scripture, I can journal, which I love to do. I don't do it as often as I'd like. I'm journaling through Isaiah 61. It's powerful. It's changing my life. I can pray for others. I just have this, it just extends the time. Maybe I could be sitting in silence for 10 minutes instead of just 5. See what I'm saying? So fasting is just not about, oh, if I'm suffering, God, do you see how much I'm suffering? You have to do what I'm asking you because I'm suffering so much. No. But you know what else I'm not doing? Sometimes in the morning, when I just have like 5 minutes between something, I'll just play like a solitaire game. Well, now I sat down because I thought I just had 5 minutes to play solitaire, but you know, 10 solitaire games later, my whole morning's gone. And I've blown it. So I'm just being real with you. So I'm just gonna share with you. And this is not because, you know, wow, look at him. I'm trying to teach here. So I am not going to have breakfast. I'm going to drink lots of water because if you don't eat food, you really need to be drinking lots of water, even if it's just one meal. I'm going to have something liquid for lunch because, again, it's quick. And I'm not going to do any type of social media or gaming just up till noon, up till that noon time. So that I have that morning and then some noon time that's dedicated, that I will take that time that I would have spent reading, you know, scripture, praying, whatever things that you do, worshiping before the Lord. That's just what I'm going to do. Now, I'll still work from like 9 to noon if I need to do emails. Are you kind of tracking me with me here, though? So, and then I'm going to have one solid meal a day just to go through Lent. I've fasted for longer times, and I actually think, to be honest with you, now different people are different, it kind of wrecked me physically. Metabolism-wise, there were some things, and I've talked to some doctors, but I still want to practice the principle of fasting. So in a sense, I'm fasting from food and some entertainment-related things. Now, for most of you in this room, I don't want to really tell you what you should do in relationship to food, because some of you here have got sugar issues, and it just would not be healthy for you to do that. But I am going to challenge you a little more strongly to find something in your life, like if you just didn't watch Netflix through Lent, how many hours, maybe even days, would you gain in your life? I think entertainment can be a gift, except for we have a hard time keeping everything balanced. So just through Lent, if you just took the time, you just created the space for God. Is this relatively clear? Okay. So just turning the TV off, letting go of your favorite show for 6 weeks or 7 weeks.
Oh, God forbid.
You can make them all up on Sunday. Afternoon and evening. It says, blow the trumpet in Zion, declare a holy fast, call a sacred assembly, gather the people, consecrate the assembly, bring together the elders, gather the children, those nursing at the breast, let the bridegroom leave his room and bride her chamber, let the priests who minister before the Lord weep between the temple porch and the altar. I today am blowing the trumpet. I'm calling for us to engage through this Lenten season in some kind of a fast. And it's just a call. You do what you feel you're supposed to do. I do not like manipulating or trying to, very seldom do I even like telling you what to do. But I'm laying before you what I think is could be a great benefit to you, to the church, and to our community. Calling together a sacred assembly, when's our sacred assemblies going to happen through Lent? You tell me. When are they going to happen? Okay, at what times? 6 a.m., 8 a.m., 8 p.m. Sacred assemblies, gathering for 30 minutes. Again, we're not just trying to twist God's arm. God wants to work. If you seek God, you'll find God. But what I'm talking about is creating space for God. And God gives grace to the humble. When we skip out, I guarantee you, if you stopped doing social media or if you stopped watching your favorite TV show, you would have as great a withdrawals from that as you do from food. You'd be surprised. You will be surprised at the pull. It's shocking to me. How stupid is solitaire? But literally, the first couple of days, I was like, I can't play. That's crazy, man. Guess I like my little card games. So here's a few suggestions, and I'll finish this up. Challenge yourself, but don't try to do too much. My first extended water-only fast was for 3 days. I was sure I was going to die. And you know what else I did? Well, I knew I was in a community at that time, a Christian community, and I'd say to people, hey, I heard they're going to have, like, peach cobbler for dessert. Could you, like, just grab one for me? And I'm going to stick it in my closet. So, by the end of the 3 days, man, when I broke my fast, most unhealthy thing you can do after a fast, I went straight to the closet, man. We're talking, you've never seen peach cobbler devoured so quickly. And I probably lost like 5 pounds over the 3 days or something. And in one meal, I gained it all back. So be reasonable with yourself. If you choose to fast from solid foods, I'm just suggesting a meal a day. And be sure to still drink lots of water. But don't just skip the meal. It's not about your suffering. It's about taking that time to be with God. Pray during that time. Some people fast from coffee or sweets or a specific food item. And while I don't want to discourage an opportunity to make changes in your diet, especially those of you going to Shauna's class, cutting those things out does not necessarily create space for God. I'm not saying don't, because it could be part of a humbling. You know, I'm not going to have any sodas through Lent or something. But not drinking soda doesn't necessarily create space for God. You may want to fast from your I've already said this, from your favorite Netflix show or even all media. And personally, just for health reasons, I'm not going to do an extended, especially just water-only fast, but I am going to be fasting, creating space for God. I'd like to ask you to take, in your bulletins, there is a grow circle, right? You have the grow card. Can you somebody pull it out and show it to me? What I would like you to do is I'd like you to end up with something like this on that card. I would like you, while just the music is playing and while you're preparing yourself for communion, there's not going to be any words. I don't want you singing. I want you just to sit before the Lord and just ask God. And if you don't do it now, if you need more time, that's okay. I'm just trying to provide you an opportunity to, you can just write, if you're not an artist, you can just write it down. If you're an artist and want to draw something, like a television set with an X through it or something like that, I'm asking you to consider what you will do, or maybe not do, over the next 7 weeks leading up to Easter. And just, that's what you're going to fast from. And just draw a line through it. Not going to do this. But then in place of that, in place of what you're fasting from, I'd like you to turn the card over and consider, what would God have me focus on in prayer over this season? And you may not be able to answer that right in this moment today, right now, but I'd hope before the day is over, you would draw up a little bit of a plan or just a sense of, I'm going to really pray for my family. Or I'm going to really focus in on these three people that don't know Jesus and pray for them during this time and invite them to the Easter service. So it's not just about what we're not doing. It's about what we're going to do. Is that fairly clear? Okay. So take some time to do that. And then when you're done with that, you're free to just come up and take communion. Jesus humbled himself. Jesus lowered himself, really, to become a human being, to die on a cross. Certainly we can humble ourselves. Certainly we can skip our favorite TV show for a while. So let's not just talk about prayer. Lent is a great time to commit to a focused effort of prayer. And so God, I cry out to you. We don't want to just talk about prayer. We want to be people of prayer. And Lord, I just ask that, I mean, hear my heart, God, because I don't want to guilt people into prayer. I pray that you would draw us to prayer. And that as we humble ourselves, as we pour out our hearts in humility to you, God, and as we lay aside some stuff that's getting in the way, that you would meet us, God. If we seek you, I believe that we will find you. So, Lord, as we just take these few moments and sit quietly before you, and then as we take communion, I'm trusting, Lord, for you to set us up for this season of concerted prayer. Whether we call it Lent or not, I don't, maybe somebody has a problem with that, but just that we are concerting, we're giving ourselves for these next 6 weeks to prayer.